Good morning, people of God. How are you this morning? I said, how are you this morning? It's an absolutely beautiful day today in Jesus. I just want everybody to stand up and come right towards the altar. We're going to celebrate in Jesus today. I'm so excited. How many of you know that no matter what the devil throws at you, no matter what life throws at you, no matter what circumstances we walk ourselves into, that he's able to get us out of them, that he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above, beyond what we can ever ask, think, or imagine. That is the God I serve. The impossible is impossible for my God, amen? We're here to celebrate a good God and a strong God, amen? God is able to do just what he said.
Come on, sing it out! die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. He never sinned, but suffered as if he did.
Oh,
Jesus this morning. Just get your hands up.
More of you, for the Lord is
Jesus. Just lift up your hands in this place. Thank you, Jesus.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now
I don't know about you, that's good news, amen? Can you turn to someone this morning and say, I'm glad I'm free? You know, this is the weekend of freedom. We're celebrating freedom of tyranny. And today we stand here free of tyranny. The devil no longer has control over your life. You've been set free by the blood and the power of Jesus' name. If you've been set free, shout amen. I can't hear you. I said, if you're free, shout amen. Man, we all go for fireworks this week. I love fireworks, but I think the fireworks need to happen in here. Can I hear an amen? I love the fact that God is good and not bad. Today, as you're going back to your chair, make sure you welcome at least five folks you don't know. Don't sit down. Just go meet five people you've never met before and say good morning.
I'm hungry and I'm ready for change. I run too far to still be the same. See who I was, I give him away. Today, today, no longer bound by what people say. I know that I will make mistakes. I fall, but I refuse to stay. Today,
I've been waiting all my life to get to the door.
Tabernacle, crazy excited. Upper Conference is just a few weeks away, and we want to let you know how to get involved. Team days start up July 9th, so if you want to serve at Upper Conference, even if you can only serve one afternoon, we're going to invite you out here after service July 9th. There'll be food, registrations to serve, and that's where you're going to get all the details. So, again, look at your neighbor, let them know. July 9th, right after church, if you want to serve at Upper Room Conference, come to our first team day. We're excited to have you. If you cannot make it, go ahead and email us at uproar@theuproar.org. We're looking forward to an amazing conference.
Hey, ladies, something exciting we got starting July 13th just for you. Every Thursday night, 7 p.m., No More Hurt class is going to be starting, taught by Pastor Rhonda. You want to make sure that you come out. Again, any lady, you're invited. July 13th, starting at 7 p.m. Be there.
This month, we're going to do our Awaken Monthly on July 9th at 5 p.m. If you're between the ages of 18 and 30, make sure you make plans. We're going to do kickball slip and slide. I'm sure you've seen it on Facebook. It is going to be so much fun. Really, Pastor Dan? So if you are between the ages of 18 and 30, make plans and we'll see you at 5 p.m.
morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. Are you excited to be in the house of God today? On behalf of our pastors, Pastor Michael and Rhonda Spencer, we would like to welcome our guests. Can we have a round of applause for our guests this morning? If you are a guest here today, we would love for you to raise your hand if you did not receive a gift bag from us. We love to bless our guests and to treat you as if you're family. So raise your hands, keep your hands up. We have people coming around to bless you with a gift from us. In addition to that, right over here on this side of the building, we would like to invite you to participate in a guest reception. We are going to give you coffee, water, refreshments, but also you will have an opportunity to meet our pastors. There is nothing more important than building relationship and family in the kingdom of God, and we're excited to have you be a part of that with us today. We would also like to welcome our live stream. We are so thankful for you. We love you and are so glad that you have decided to be a part of our family. Isn't it great to know that the Holy Spirit is with us wherever we are and that there is no limit or boundary to where the Holy Spirit can reach us? So please invite the Holy Spirit into your home today. He has a plan for your life as well. Thank you for joining us. Also, we'd like to tell you about some wonderful things that we have going on here at His Tabernacle Family Church. One of the things that I love about who we are is that we are a word-rich church. Other churches are known for drama. Maybe they're known for worship. They're known for their children's ministries. We are known for teaching the unadulterated Word of God. And the Word of God is powerful. We want you to be powerful people in Christ and to walk with authority. So we offer next steps. We have Rock Solid Faith, Step 1, every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. with Pastor Spencer. Woohoo! Then we have Rock Solid Faith offered again Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. with Pastor Dan Dykes. And we also have Rock Solid Faith offered Thursday nights at 6 p.m. with Pastor Pelko, and that's me. It's a phenomenal class. Even if you have been in church your whole life, you need to take Rock Solid Faith. I guarantee it will stretch you and teach you and train you and challenge you. And I love that it backs everything up with the Word of God. Then we have Step 2. That is spiritual warfare taught by Pastor Obina Igbo. If you are missing this class, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, it's not too late. Get there. There is nothing worse than a wimpy Christian. Come and learn who you are through the power of Jesus Christ. You have authority, and you are called to walk in it. So make sure that you attend that class. Then July 9th, Uproar Team Days volunteer meeting. Get involved with volunteering at Uproar. Make sure that you see Mindy. She is going to give you the information that you need. Again, this is for everyone that would like to participate with Uproar as a volunteer. Also, July 9th, Awaken Young Adults monthly service. They're doing outdoor slip and slide and kickball. And I said before, I'll say it again, those that are 30 and above were like, ouch, that's awful. But it's going to be so much fun. Make sure that you come out for that. And then my favorite, July 16th, is Baptism Sunday. Make sure that you sign up online or at the hub. I'm telling you, this is a supernatural opportunity for you. If you want to be changed and transformed, step into the river of God. I could preach a whole message on this, but Pastor wouldn't appreciate that this morning. So make sure you get into Rock Solid Faith because we teach on baptism there as well. Now, would you help me welcome Pastor Rhonda as she comes for the offering? I love this time of tithes and offerings. I love being able to talk about and encourage you in our finances because finances are a very real part of our everyday, and we need to know what the Word of God has to say about our finances. So we've been talking about the tithe from the Word of God, not from my opinion or pastor or from a church, but from the Word of God. And the word tithe actually means 10%. And the tithe, we've determined, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. So actually, we aren't giving our tithe. We're actually returning what already belongs to Him according to the Word of God. So that's where giving offerings comes in. When we've returned our tithe, then we can give offerings. And you might hear us say words like seed or sowing a seed. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about offerings that are above the tithe because that already belongs to God. So sowing seed is so important. God tells us in His Word that seed time and harvest will not pass away. Why do we sow seeds? We sow seed so that we will have a harvest. If we plant one kernel of corn, we don't expect one kernel of corn back. We expect a whole stalk with many, many, many kernels on it. So that's seed time and harvest, and it shall never pass away. I want to read to you Matthew 13, if I can find it. But the other seed fell into good ground. That good ground is ground where we're cheerful givers and where we have knowledge and understanding about finances from the Word of God. But the other seed fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold. I want to see 100-fold return on every seed that I give to the Lord. Some 60-fold and some 30-fold. But what's the difference in that? The difference is when we give cheerfully and when we give with knowledge, we receive 100-fold return from our seed time and harvest. It's a covenant that God has with us. We can count on it just like we can count on gravity. The Word of God says, test me in this and see. His promises are all yes and amen. So if you're ready to give your tithes and your offerings this morning, stand to your feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration with understanding as we've been taught from the Word of God. And this covenant that we enter into, supernatural finance, is from Deuteronomy 28. And if you'll repeat it with me, it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I'm going to use the faith like the front row uses over there. When I make my basket, it's not going to be this big. It's going to be two steps forward big. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching via live stream, you can give right along with us. Click on the giving button or text to give.
God is able to do just what He said He would do. He's gonna fulfill.
Praise the Lord. How is everybody? What a great day. You know, I was sitting down on the second row, and I got myself in trouble within 10 minutes. I was already in trouble. We would love to introduce to you this young family. I'm going to let them introduce themselves to you with the babies. But we have brought on this young couple on staff. And so they're with us, glory to God, all the way from Oregon. We went through over 600 resumes. That's a lot of resumes. And we are blessed to have Corey and his beautiful bride, Britt, here for marketing and media. And so all the new stuff, the double portion stuff you're seeing, and all the stuff on the screens, and all the written stuff and the paper stuff are all from the creative mind of Corey. So I'll let him introduce.
Hi, I'm Corey Pelton. This is my wife. You stop that, Pastor. This is my wife, Brittany. This is my son, James. He's 4. Can you say hi? This is my son, Kai. He will be 1 next week. So, my wife and I, we were in Oregon, and I was actually a stay-at-home dad at the time, and my wife was working full-time at a college, and we were just feeling like God had something new that he wanted for us, and we started praying. So I threw my resume all over, applied at like 20 different places all across the country. And actually, this is the one place that I did not apply to.
Right.
Pastor found me, and he called me on my cell phone. And I almost didn't answer because I thought it was a marketing call. But which it kind of was, yeah. So I answered, and he said, hey, you know, I saw your portfolio and resume, and I'd love to have you consider the job. And he said, when can you come out? It was Easter weekend that weekend. And I said, well, my wife has a 3-day weekend. Why don't we do this weekend? So 3 days later, we were here for Easter weekend, saw the egg drop, and just fell in love with the place. And we prayed about it, and we felt like God is like, yeah, this is your home. So a month later, we had our plane tickets. I drove a budget truck three days by myself, and then had a fun little adventure doing that. I listened to a lot more than that one time I told you about. So, we're excited to be here, and we're loving our new home.
We want to welcome you.
Can you give him a big His Tabernacle welcome? Amen. Thank you. Glad to have you. Amen. Bye. I love the fact that God is growing the house and God is building people. And I just thank the Lord the impact that we're having in our region. You know, there's nothing worse than being part of something that means nothing. I love the fact of being part of something that is changing the region. And the impact that we have, God is blessing us with in government, all the way down to the school systems and the young people, the children. And I thank the Lord for you. Why don't you turn to someone next to you and say, thank God for you. Amen. That's so important because you need to realize how important you are and what God is doing through you in this house. He's doing a lot. The Lord, you know, we do a lot of ministry, and I want to thank the Lord. I do want to give real quick props to Rosalind, and she was working with Pastor Jahara's team down in the city, and they had a great outreach last night. I love the fact that, what a woman of God. Have you not met Rosalind and Marlo, you need to. Can you guys stand up and wave at everybody real quickly? I know you hate this, Roz, but that's all right. They are phenomenal evangelists. They just are unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they want to see God change this region, and I thank God for them that they're in this house. Roz has been with us. Oh, my goodness, Rosalind, how many years? Oh, my goodness. Yeah, 8 years? 8 years. God's just blessed us with her, and we thank you so much for being here. This morning, I'm excited, for this is the year of... I said, this is the year of, and we are. Turn to someone and say, you're so generous. You are. You're a generous church. I love the fact that the Bible, the verse for the year is found, the generous soul shall be made rich. The word rich there doesn't mean rich in spirit. It literally means God's going to bless you financially. How many of you want more money? Anybody else just lied? Going to hell. Well, you know, Pastor, I don't need any more than I have. Good. Then when they offer you a raise, give it to the church. I didn't think so. God wants to prosper you. God wants you blessed. He said, He takes extreme happiness in the prosperity of his children. And so God wants you blessed and not to the place where you're just barely making it by. And this year, man, we've been preaching on the generous God and how awesome our God is, and that he's not poor. God is very rich. There's nothing that he doesn't have. And how many of you recognize you're a child of heaven? If you're a child of God, you're a prince and a princess, you're a son and daughter of the Most High King, you're an ambassador of heaven, I want you to know that you're an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ, that you are not poor, but you are rich. You say, well, my pockets seem to be empty, and I seem to tell you that it's not about what you got in your pocket, it's where you're from. You see, when your homeland, when your home country has everything in access available for you, it's time to start learning how to call those things which are not as though they already are. You see, our generous God wants you generously blessed so you can generously give to others. Can I hear an amen? I've heard so many people say to me, and last week we started with the coupling of understanding that your personal vision coupled with the vision of the house always produces provision. So say that with me. My vision coupled with the house vision always produces provision. That means if you're in a position where financially you need more money, you need to start giving more. I'm not even talking money. I'm talking your life. The more you give, the more you receive. It's the opposite principle of the world system. The Bible says that as we sow, we shall reap. If you sow sparingly, you shall reap sparingly. But if you sow bountifully, you shall reap bountifully. You see, the world teaches if you want more, you stick more, hide more, and you hoard more. But the principles of the word are different from that. And that's where the believers, sons and daughters of God, have to know that if our God is who he says he is, that there's nothing that's not available for you. Turn to someone and say, I love that God is rich and not poor. You see, I want to make sure you understand the necessity of you recognizing your vision, why you're alive. I've had so many people ask me that question. Pastor, why am I even on this planet? Why am I even here? What is my purpose? You see, when a person doesn't know their purpose, they're truly blind. When a person doesn't know where they're going, they're completely lost. Now, if you've never been lost before, it is a harrowing experience. The hair on the back of your head, there's a urgency in your mind and in your flesh. You kind of go a little stir crazy when you start getting lost. But I want you to know that God is not lost, and he says you're not lost. For if you're lost, that means you're not saved. But the moment you got saved, you step into something different, and that is this. As a child of God, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And God has your steps ordered so you will realize how powerful you are. You know, the older I've gotten, not that I'm old, and amen, that's the spot. As I've gotten more mature, not that I'm really overwhelmingly mature. Wow, you guys are rough this morning. We just met a gentleman in the last service, and we were in the guest reception room, and he said, I've been in ministry 38 years. I said, that's really cool. And we start talking, and we're talking the amount of, you know, an age difference. And he said, I'm 89 years old. Oh, seriously, he didn't look any more than 60. And it was just amazing to realize he looks so good. You would never known 89 years old. But we all know that 89 goes by quick. How many of you are at least 40? 50. 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 80. Do we have an 80, 80, 80, 80, 81, 81? Oh, somebody raise their hand for 80, and I know you can't be more than 15. Glory to God. The time goes by so quickly. One of the things I've realized as I've gotten more mature was that what seems to be satisfying and successful, as you get older, you realize is not at all. Money does not meet that need. Climbing the corporate ladder does not meet that need. You know, you can have all of these things on the planet. You can have a nice home. You can drive a nice car. But the one thing you'll find is that ultimately, the more mature you become, you'll realize that those things are not fulfilling. They are a temporary satisfaction that have no long-term glorification. You see, it's amazing when you realize that what we're all looking for is to be fulfilled and to recognize why we're here. You see, if we're here, even though 89 years old seems old to some of you, it goes by so quickly. Our time on this planet is very short. And there's nothing worse than not feeling fulfilled. There's nothing worse than feeling that you're not successful. And the only way that you could not feel successful is if you're lost. Many believers are lost. They get saved. They give their heart to the Lord. They genuinely love Jesus. But what's happened is this, is because they do not know the vision and the purpose for their being, they wander and meander even as believers. And God wants to settle you. God wants to direct you. God wants to have clarity in you that you will know why you're breathing on this planet, because your vision coupled with the house's vision always brings provision and it brings true success to your life. So if you don't know your vision, then you'll never couple with the house's vision. And this is a big issue in the kingdom of God. Why churches have very few people involved in church? The reason is because most people don't know why they're here, so they're chasing after temporary satisfaction and not investing in internal investment. When we have the understanding of vision, then the whole clarity opens up to why and how quick our life is. And we no longer sleep or slumber. You have time to sleep when you're in heaven, even though you won't be. Well, you know, I'm just tired. Then you need the quickening of the Holy Spirit according to Romans chapter 8. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, he will quicken your mortal body by that same Spirit. You see, when you get a revelation, when you have an apocalypsis, when the unveiling happens in your spirit, when you realize why you're alive, why God has you on this planet, what gifts and talents he's placed within you, then you're no longer wondering or wandering, but you're focused and you're determined that you're going to reach the goal, and that goal is to please God, so that he'll say to you one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. There's a time to recognize that our breath is more than just survival, but our breath is purpose. Can I hear an amen? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says this, as each one has received a gift. Turn to someone next to you and say, you are so gifted. Tell somebody else, you are gifted. The Bible says that you have received a gift. One of the great things to recognize, and I've had people say to me this before, well, Pastor, I don't have time to use my gift. Well, Pastor, you know, I'm kind of burned out. Well, Pastor, you know, I just got this and I just got that. We got all these excuses. But the truth that we got to grasp is our life is not our own. How many of you are born again, washed in the blood of Jesus? If you're born again, washed by the blood of Jesus, the Bible says your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. That means we don't have the luxury of just fulfilling our fleshly design. We are called to fulfill God's purpose of why we're here. And in that, we've got to recognize that each one has received a gift. Minister it one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You see, as a steward, that means that we've been loaned something and that we're responsible to take care of it as the owner would. Let me say it one more time. Stewardship is not you and I taking what somebody else owns and making it what we want. True stewardship is taking a hold of what somebody has granted to us and doing with it what they would do. And as stewards of the gifts of God, we've got to recognize they're not just for us to enjoy. They're not just for us to do whatever we want with. The gifts that have been placed within us, the talents that have been placed within us, are to minister to other people. You see, that is the calling of God on your life. You and I are all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was a big shift when Constantine came into rule. And the big shift up to that point was this. Everybody was a minister. You might not have been one of the fivefold ministry gifts, but every single person was in ministry. Everyone fulfilled their call. Everyone in the diversity that they were stepped into sharing the gospel, preaching the gospel, ministering to people. When Constantine came into rule, there was what was created called a papacy or a priesthood. They were priests. And what ended up happening was the people were too dumb or ignorant to know the scripture. So there became a chasm between the priests, between the clergy and the people in the pew. I want you to know that that was a diabolical plot of Lucifer. How come? Because they took a part of the body, the functioning part of the church, and they dismantled them, disemboweled them, and cast them aside because they felt that they were better. I want you to know that nobody in this room is better than anybody else. God doesn't love one of you more than he loves somebody else. God won't give you more than he won't give somebody else. For God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God does not play favorites. You are his favorite child. Can I hear an amen? And it's so imperative that you lay hold of this truth because you were so intellectually designed by heaven to do his bidding. Intelligent design is so powerful. We have a poor God and we have a rich God. Many of us serve a poor God. Well, here they come. Sexy. Let's be real. Many of us serve the poor God. What do you mean we serve a poor God? We have a mentality, and in fact, we've been fighting this in this region called the poverty mentality, where many believers think it's more spiritual to be poor. Listen, money makes no difference on whether you're rich or poor, excuse me, or whether you're spiritual or not spiritual. Money is really all money does is reveal what's already a problem in your life. The truth is that our God is not poor. He's not eating out of bowls. His hair isn't disheveled. That's right. You're messed up, kid. We serve a God, a King of kings and a Lord of lords. He said, the I am that I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. There's no one like him, no one before him. He is the one who was and is to come. He is the one who is called Jehovah Jireh, my God provides. He is Jehovah Shalom. He is the one that brings us peace where there seems to be no peace available on the planet. He is the one, the Sid Canoe. He is the one that will be our protector. He is our King. He is our Lord. He is Adonai. He is the owner of all things. God is not weak. God is strong. You see, this is the God that we serve. And the amazing part about serving the true God is that as a son and a daughter, he makes a declaration according to the book of Hebrews that we can come before the throne of God boldly and bring our petitions, and that God not only hears us, but he answers us according to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. He says, if you ask anything in my will, that I'll bring it to you, I'll answer you even before the prayer is even cited. You see, God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. You see, God wants to bless you abundantly above all things that you could even think of. The issue is that we don't perceive him as this. We perceive him as this weak God who when we pray to him, if he's not busy, might answer us. If he might have a little extra can in the thing, he'll cash it in and maybe help us when we need a financial miracle. But I want you to know that your God has all things, that even in heaven, he walks on streets of gold. I want you to know that what we consider wealth, he considers foot massage. He walks on streets of gold, and to him, that's absolutely nothing, where to everybody on this earth, that seems to be great wealth. You see, we serve an amazing God. The Bible says that this great, generous God, before you were even formed, he said in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Psalms 139, verse 14, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows very well. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk before him. You see, what's awesome about serving the true God is that the true God, before he said, let there be light, and there was, he knew you. He planned you.
He said, I've got a purpose for you. You know what I love so much about God? Is in his planning, he designed you to the personality that you have. He put you at the height that you're at. You ever been in a community of people where somebody's always the life of the party? You go and, man, they're just like everybody's surrounding them and they're all having fun and joking and laughing. Josh Fuchsman, for goodness sakes, Josh Fuchsman. You know, you get around the guy and he's just laughing. Everybody's around him. But then in the same party, you see somebody else that's over sitting in the corner that isn't talking to anybody. Well, why is that? Well, that poor person. No, it's not that poor person. That person might be a little bit more stoic. They're not as outreaching, but yet they're just as happy inside. You see, when you recognize how God created you, you are no longer in competition with anybody else. You know who you are inside, and you can walk with the confidence that your God, the God of heaven, before he even said the world would come into existence, he knew you, he planned you, he purposed you, he designed you. Intellectual design was the plan of God for your life. When you get that, then you no longer walk in the lack of confidence. You can rest in the Lord knowing that the steps of a righteous man, my Father in heaven is saying, go this way, go this way, go this way. You see, when you walk in the principles and in the ways of God, you can't fail. True success is walking in God's will. True success is walking in vision. True success is knowing where you're going. And when you know where you're going, then you are not lost. This is why, again, like I said just a little bit earlier, many churches are struggling because most believers don't know the vision that God has for them. They live from struggle to struggle. They live from problem to problem. They live from what I call the roller coaster ride with Jesus. One minute they're happy about the Lord, the next minute they're in great devastation. That's never been the plan of heaven. God wants you to be consistent and constant no matter what's coming against you, that you know that if anything, God will raise the standard and you'll be saved. God is able to do that thing in your life. Why? Because he loves you. And we've got to get back to understanding that he made you with understanding and with clarity, and the generous God made you with specific giftings. He not only made you cute, turn to someone and they say, I'll tell them that you look so cute. But when you were born, God clothed you with talents and gifts. These are your talents and gifts. Some of you might be funny. Some of you might not be at all. Some of you might be good with your hands. Some of you, every time you pick up or get near the stove, you burn yourself. Some of you pick up a kitchen knife, you always cut yourself. Let's move on. Everybody has different gifts and different talents. My dad's talent was a contractor. Man, my dad would be able to go into a house and they'd say, I want my kitchen renovated. And Terry does the same thing. I want my kitchen renovated. And my dad could see it. I mean, it's like, you know, the old nasty cupboards are up and the tile floors are down and everything is nasty. You see in a roach every once in a while. And it's gross. But my dad, when he looked at that kitchen, he saw it completed. He saw a recessed ceiling. He saw the lights, the can lights, and he saw the dimmers, and he saw the beautiful wood that he was going to build the cabinets out of, and he saw the granite countertops, and he saw the inlaid sink, and he saw the new floor where the tile would be just magnificent. And I'm standing there going, so what are we doing next? You want a saw? Which saw do you want? You mean the one with the four prongs or the one with the three prongs? Listen, this is the powerful part about understanding your gifts and talents that God has given you, the generous God placed in your life. Because when you don't recognize your giftings, when you don't recognize why and how God made you, then you're constantly striving to be somebody else. God didn't make you anybody else. God didn't give you somebody else's gifts. He planned you uniquely and intelligently. You are that powerful of a person. And we got to grab this, because God's plan for your life is massive and significant and impactful. But when you don't recognize why you're here, then you're just wandering. Every gift and every talent that he's laid on your life is so powerful. Mine is I'm a speaker. This is what I do. I stand up here and God puts a message in my heart and he designs it, and I'm able to verbalize and communicate with body language and with backdrops. And I thank God for my SWAT team, and we make the sermon, or strive to make it, alive to you. So it's not just another message that a preacher is preaching, but it will become alive to your spirit, and so that you'll be able to run the race and be empowered to fulfill God's purpose. That's my calling. But you know, some of you stand up here, you pee yourself. Brother Dave. Does that mean I'm better than you? Absolutely not. It just means I have different gifts than you have. And you see, when we recognize our gifts and our calling, when we recognize why we're alive, then we recognize why God and what God's purpose is directionally for us. That means now we have a destination we can go to. Now we can start moving our life towards a direction according to our gifts and our talents that he's placed within us. Every single human being on this planet has been designed intellectually by God. The issue with that is that not everybody wants Jesus. You see, as a son and daughter of God, it's not just the gifts and the talents, but it's also the anointing. This represents the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the perpetual propulsion of the power of God. The supernatural power of heaven that is residing inside of you because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. You see, the power to do not natural things, but supernatural things. The power to step in to something that is imperfect and impossible, and God working through you and your gifts and talents, being able to bring a manifestation of the glory of God so that people around you will have to say, there's no one who could have done that but Jesus through you. That anointing is so powerful. What's amazing is that everybody looks at one guy as somebody that's more powerful than somebody else, and it's just not true. The same Holy Spirit that dwells in me, the same Holy Spirit that dwelled in Christ, dwells in you. And when you recognize your gifts and your callings and your talents, and you allow the Holy Spirit to anoint you, that means that you're going to be used to change people's lives. I just want to give you a few examples. Come here, young man. Yeah, you. Yeah, that's you. Oh, him right there. I'm sorry. No. I know who Mark is, honey. Thank you. This is Mark. If I say, hi, Mark. Mark is not a preacher. But Mark is an engineer. His gifts and his talents are to look at something and make it work. Where I look at it and say, Mark, make it work. You see, many people think that your gifts and talents all have to be that you're full-time in ministry. But the truth is that every person that's in this room is what we call marketplace ministers. What is that? Is that God has called you to be a minister with the gifts and the talents that he's placed on your life. And he's put you in a position that I'll never be at. People that Mark will talk to that I'll never talk to. And there are people that I'll talk to that Mark will never talk to. But his gifts and his talents with the anointing of the Holy Spirit will then allow him to share the gospel that will change lives. It's so powerful to realize that you are so necessary to the kingdom's purposes. And when we do not understand this, then we look at somebody as better than somebody else. Nobody's better. I'm not better than Mark. He has a different call, different gifts, different talent, different anointing. But yet, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, when he shares the gospel, he can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The Bible says, preach the gospel to every creature. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. You see, that same calling's on me. That same con's on Mark, but he's in the marketplace as an engineer. Thank you. Amen. This is Eric. Eric works for the school system. He might not be an engineer. He's not a preacher. But he's a man who works at the school. Mowing lawns. What else?
Trimming hedges.
Trimming hedges.
Painting sports fields.
Painting sports fields.
And every other thing I can think
of. And every other thing you can think of. When this guy touches a something that's broken, whether it's an engine or whether it's some kind of automobile, you know what? This guy can make it happen. Most of the time. Your wife told me all the time. I think she wants kudos, so. His giftings are different from my giftings. Listen, I've never changed the oil in my vehicle. I broke 3 lawnmowers last year. I have a witness. Man, I tell you something. This guy right here has different gifts and different talents than I have. And in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, guess what? He's going to minister to the people that I cannot minister to. He's going to share the gospel with people that I cannot share. We cannot compare each other with each other because there are different giftings, different talents. But under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it will always bring the same result. And that is somebody's life is going to be changed by the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. The gospel, the good news is going to be preached. And someone's going to come to life. We can't compare. That's the vision that God has for him. And he's good at it. He's faithful to it. He's loyal. Adam. Just met with this young man yesterday. He's an insurance man. Allstate, correct? State Farm, sorry. Boy, man, they reacted to that, didn't they? Thought I was going to get beat up from the crowd, not even you. Y'all like that, huh? This guy here, man, when he talks, he can really share his heart. And you know what? He's genuinely desiring to help people, help families, get your insurance policy if you can that will save you money. They'll make sure you're covered. They'll make sure you have retirement. They'll make sure. This is what this guy's heart is. What's amazing is that's not my gift. That's not my talent. But that's his gift and talent. He's not worse. He's not better. It's how God designed Adam. What's so powerful about this is there is anointing on that. You see, when you're an insurance man and you're anointed of the Holy Spirit, God will open opportunity and doors that it won't happen for an unbeliever. It's the power of the Holy Ghost working through your business. Why? Because of the anointing of God. Thank you. Oh, my goodness, I can go through all of us in this room, and every one of us are gifted and talented, every one of us diverse and unique. But what's so powerful is that same anointing that's on Jesus is on you and the people that he surrounded you with. Those gifts and talents have to be released so that their lives can be changed. If you're bored in Christianity, it's because you're no longer living in the Spirit, but you're living in the flesh. That was free. You see, what happens a lot of times is this. Is people get saved, but they never do anything for the king. So they have gifts and talents, but they never share the gospel in their job. And they don't ever do anything in God's house. You see, the Bible calls us the family of God. The Bible calls us the body of Christ. Hands, eyes, nose, feet, nose hairs, earlobes. Every one of us are uniquely different. Some of us are exposed more than others. But the truth comes down to this, is that every one of us play an essential part of fulfilling God's destiny, God's vision for the local church. And what's happened is, because the local church people do not understand the vision and their gifts and their calling, what's happened is they no longer partner or connect themselves with the vision of a house, and therefore there is no provision in either sides. So what people do is they do this. Well, you know, I'm gifted at insurance. So I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it my way. And so we start living out of the flesh. We start relying on our own understanding and our own talents and our own gifts. I want you to know your gifts and talents can only go so far. And when you recognize true success is not in getting everything, true success is truly pleasing God. And when you get that in your spirit, your whole life changes. Because the impact that other people make on your life does not have significance, because your whole goal is to please God, and not the weak, poor God, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who has all access for you and I to succeed in what we're doing. But many people walk like this. They walk in the flesh. They take their gifts and their talents. They throw off their spiritual mantle, the anointing, and they do their own thing. And this is why so many of us fail desperately. John made the declaration, I must decrease so he can increase. What's phenomenal about understanding this is this. The gifts and the talents that God created you with are without repentance, which means he'll never take them back. Which means you can serve the devil and those gifts and talents will still be available. You can serve yourself and those gifts and talents will still be available. What has to shift is understanding that that temporary satisfaction, the temporary living for yourself, the temporary living in your own capabilities, the temporary to where you and I in this short life are shortly going to be gone. We've got to recognize that this is not the answer. We've got to become anointed of the Holy Spirit with the gifts and the talents that God has given us. You see, if you repent, God will restore you. No matter how long it's been, he'll re-anoint you. Real fervor in your heart. And the vision will become alive in your life. The true satisfaction and true success is fulfilling God's purpose under God's mantle. So what's vision in your life? You know, truthfully, I find a lot of believers are in the survival mode. Their whole vision is just to survive. I just want to make it. I just want to be able to be happy. God never called you to be happy. God called you to live in the joy of the Lord. God never called you to have everything in your pocket. God said, listen, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, peace. God wants to give you the fruit of the Spirit, the joy of God, the everything that the Holy Spirit has for you. God does not want you to live in abundance, in survival, but in abundance. That's the vision of your life. I can't tell you how many people go, well, you know, I'm here, Pastor. I want to jump out and slap them in the love of Jesus. Because it shows their vision. You see, when you truly have vision, vision takes you through the storm because you know it's not the destination. The most powerful thing in our life is vision. Sight is the function of the physical body, but vision is the sight of your spirit. So if you have no place you're going, then you're truly lost, even though you're saved. Sight captures the present. Vision captures the future. Vision is the purpose for our breath and the very reason that we get out of bed. See, vision is everything in your life. And the vision that God has for you is wrapped right around all the gifts and the talents that he's placed in your heart. See, those gifts and those talents are what's going to open the opportunity for you to be used by God to change other people's lives. You'll never get higher. You'll never be more excited than when God changes somebody through you. When somebody gives their heart to Jesus because you, with your gifts and your talents, shared with them the goodness of God, and all of a sudden they come and give their heart to Jesus, and their life has changed, their family has changed. They now have hope and purpose and direction. Now God puts vision within them, and then they reproduce. There's nothing more exciting than seeing a changed life. What's your vision for your home? What's your vision for your family? What's your vision for your finances? Well, I don't really have one. Then you're lost. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says, where there is no prophetic revelation, the people run in confusion. My people perish, is what the scripture says. What's your vision? What's your vision for your home? What's your vision for your family? What's your vision for your finances? What's your vision for the church? You see, if you don't have the vision for you, you'll never connect to the body, because it will always be about you. Love that first verse. I'm going to read it one more time. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Do you know why you're here?
Well, because my mother made me come.
Do you know why you're here?
Well, because, you know, I go to church every Sunday morning.
Do you know why you're here? If you don't, you're lost. But Jesus said you're always been found. So you've got to say, Lord, what is the vision for my life? What gifts and talents have you given me that I'm able to use for your glory? God, I want to be a marketplace minister. Lord, whether it be, Lord Jesus, out mowing a lawn or a president of a company. Not one is better than the other. Each one is in a different field with a different calling, with a different anointing to fulfill a different purpose, but ultimately the same, and that is that no one has to go to hell. Today, what is your call? Your vision coupled with the house vision brings provision. This morning, I'm going to have the ushers pass out the generous campaign again. These right here are the papers as we're going as a local body. This summer, we love the fact that we're reaching souls for Jesus. The uproar this year is going to be more magnificent than ever before. And you want to know what I know? It's not just 1,000 kids are going to come out to the arena. But what I love about it is we're going to leave a footprint in Elmira. The newspapers will be coming. The TV will be coming. And instead of propelling negative news all the time, just like with Roz the other night, they're going to have to start saying that God's people are doing magnificent things in the middle of the city, and people will get hope again. I love the fact that we're doing Rock the City in Horseheads this year. We're not just doing it. What I love about our generous God is that even if you look at a leaf or you look at the greatness that our God is, he does everything with perfect detail. This year at this Rock the City in the middle of Horseheads, we're going to do it so good, so big that this region, we've never done ministry here in Horseheads. Isn't that amazing? We've always been doing it in Elmira. But this year we're going to do Rock the City right at Thorn Street Park. And I'm believing that the anointing is going to be left so strong that even 1 year after, people that walk on that property, every blade of grass will be anointed of the Spirit of God. Every power of God. People will get miracles just walking down there because you and I have declared the goodness of Jesus. Every one of us are sitting in a miracle right here. It should cost $125 to build a building per square foot. We had a man come to us. It's been 9 years now, and he said this, Pastor, I'll build that church for $25 a square foot. A miracle. And in that, we've got to keep the miracle going. We got to work on our parking lot. Can I hear an amen? So there are certain things we've just got to do as a body of Christ. Some of you will never couple with the vision of this house because you don't know your own vision. But when you know where you're going and how you fit and what God is going to use you for in this house, the provision will come to you because God needs his house provided. Now, not that God is poor and he can't afford it. Not that he needs to sell a few bottles and cans to get a few extra cents. But what I love about God, the God of heaven, he says this, if you live by my principles, you will always live success. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. If God says you sow to him a certain amount, what he puts on your heart, when you sow that, the word of God declares that God will release 30, 60, 100-fold back to your life. He has everything. Some of you need a miracle. You need to be sowing for your miracle. Some of you need finance. You need to sow for a finance. Some of you need a car. You need to sow for your car. When in need, you'll always seed. It activates the heavens. It activates the power of God. So this morning, as you're looking at that, there's a separate card there that you've not seen before. Those who were here last week saw the other one. The other card is called the vision card. And I want you to fill that out. Why? Because my wife and I want to pray over that. We're going to fast 2 days next week. Excuse me, not two full days. You don't mind two full days? We're going to fast next week over your vision card. We're going to take the time when you pass that in. It says, what's the vision for your home? What's the vision for your family? What's the vision for your finances? What's the vision for the house of God? When you fill that out, my wife and I are going to fast and pray over those cards that God's going to bring manifest quick results to the vision he's placed in your heart. Your vision coupled with the house vision always produces provision. Say it with me. My vision coupled with the house vision always produces provision. You are visionary people serving a visionary God. And I love the fact that our God's not poor, but our God is rich. Amen? Next week, this is what we're going to do. Next week, I'm going to teach you how to identify the gifts and the talents in your life. You don't want to miss it. More of a teaching message, but when you walk out of this place, you're going to be able to say, I know who I am. I know basic gifts that God has given me, and I'm going to start running towards that. Amen? Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, God, for your house. We thank you, Jesus, that each one of us are so intellectually designed that, Lord, you have placed us here at this exact time. We're even in this room, for the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, even those that are watching by live stream right now, in Jesus' name, that they will sense and understand the very tangible anointing that's in this room, that, Lord, they are called by you to do magnificent things for heaven. Lord, I thank you that each one of us are going to start walking in the vision and the purpose for our being, that we will not be lost as believers, but we will run this race and win. If you're this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'd like to receive him as your Lord. You want to give your heart and start this adventure with Christ. You want to start living the gifts and the talents for purpose and vision. If that's you this morning, you do not know the Lord, you know there's something in your life that's wrong, you know you're not right with the Lord, you want to get right with Jesus, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Thank you, sir. I see that hand. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else? Thank you very much. Is there anyone else this morning? Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else this morning? I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call. Thank you very much. Amen, Keith. I love you. Last call. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. If I could have the prayer team come around the front of the altar, please. I'm going to have my daughter-in-law. This is Mindy. If you raise your hand for salvation, I'm going to ask you to take another step. What do you mean, Pastor? I thought I was just going to raise my hand. You know what? That's part of it. But the Bible says, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before God. But that means the opposite. If you'll be able to proclaim Jesus publicly, there'll be a shift in your spirit, and God will be so proud, and he'll declare you before the Father. If you raise your hand for salvation, I want you to be brave. Grab the person next to you that's near you and make your way. Meet me right here in the front. Can you give them a hand clap as they're coming this morning? Those who raise their hand for salvation, come right out of your chair. Come on, come right out of your chair. Come right on up right now. Come on, young man. Come on. Come on, right up here. Thank you, sir. Thank you. You're brave. I appreciate it. A powerful shift. Come on. Thank you. Very proud of you, man. Come on, there's a few more that raise their hand. I'd like you to be brave. Come right out of your chair. You're saying, man, I'm just nervous. That's all right. You'll be all right. We're not against you. We're for you. But these decisions, when they're made public, it laughs at the devil's face because he's going to try to get you to deny it later. Father, I thank you right now for these that are declaring your goodness in their life, and they'll be changed from this day forward for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll follow Mindy, she wants to minister to you right on over there. Hallelujah. How many of you love the Lord? Get ready. I'm going to declare over your life, Father, in Jesus' name, I declare fresh vision in their life, that they may see clearly where you're directing them and taking them, that, God, you're going to use them in a powerful manner even this weekend as we go and be with our families. Lord, give us opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus, that they'll be saved, set free, and God will bring you glory in Jesus' name. And everybody declared, we love you. Serve God with all of your heart. If you need prayer, the prayer team's around the front of the altar. We'd love to minister to you, encourage you, strengthen you, and pray the power of God in your life.